We're back for the last run, 15 minutes of raw recovery and freedom. And, you know, I stressed freedom when I talked to Mayor because she allowed me to divulge a little bit there. And, you know, and the fact that she sees the need as great enough to kind of throw her own anonymity out the window to help others, really. And that's the way I look at it. And, you know, if being anonymous is more important than saving lives, then I think we're on the wrong planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I thank you for that. That's important.
You're welcome.
That's important. And, you know, to share that the fact that you were inside and now you're outside, and you know, God willing, you'll be forever outside now.
Well, not everybody knew that, but they do now. Thanks a lot, Scott.
So does that make you angry?
No, not at all.
No, good, good, good. Okay, again, you know, we talked, we mentioned love. You mentioned the word love before we broke there for the last little stay of execution. How do you get to love yourself?
You just know? get back in tune to yourself. You do nice things for yourself. You know, you speak to yourself. You spend time alone, right?
Oh, okay.
And just to refocus and regroup and just, you know.
Yeah.
Be resilient and just move on. That's it. Get past it. Live for today.
When you're alone, how do you kind of gauge thoughts and stuff? Do you have a way? Do you meditate? Do you have a way of just letting them fly by, or what? What do you do? How do you know?
I'm very selective as to the thoughts. I'm very selective as to the thoughts that I let dwell in my mind. Right? There's over thousands of thoughts that go through your mind at any minute, and it's up to you to choose what you want to think about. And whatever you think about is what sort of becomes, right? Whatever you spend your mind thinking about. You sit there and think about drugs, and it's inevitable. Eventually, that's what you're going to end up doing.
If you think
about other things, other things will be happening. I choose my thoughts very carefully.
That's good. You know, and we often talk about that. I do the same thing. I see thoughts as things in motion. You know, they're always moving, you know. So it's like a little stream with a bunch of little boats, you know, and they all keep going. And it's only the ones I grab and bring up close and entertain and do stuff with that impact my life in any way. Yeah, I see them all. They all have some impact, but very little as they just drift by. So to me, that's meditation. That's true meditation. And if you start that up with your relationship to God through scriptural readings, Quran, Bible, whatever you use, to kind of prepare for that, it makes it that much more meaningful, for me anyway. And but that's the key. It's the art of letting go, I think, you know. The art of letting go and the art of not grabbing. So, I mean, if we know thoughts are, everything's in motion, I believe. Everything's always in motion, and that's why we've got to be in motion, not anxious, but in motion. We've got to move, but not with anxiety, you know, sort of thing.
True.
And, you know, and to become someone who can live without being anxious. It's kind of tough in this world. There's a lot of pressure out there, a lot of pressure at home and everywhere else. And you mentioned earlier something that caught my ear, that, you know, you have quirks. I think that's the word.
Of course, I've got quirks.
And we've got quirks, and maybe some of them. Maybe some of them people close to you don't like. You know what I mean? And you know, whether they do or not, what I'm trying to get at is, you still have the support. You know, you've got that family support, regardless of what history says.
Absolutely, they love me today as they loved me when I was a little girl. The same.
Yeah. How do you explain that?
It's
how can they do that?
Why do they do that? It's unconditional love.
That's
why I understand love. I come from love. I am love.
Cool. And yet you have leadership qualities. I saw that in the other scenario.
Well, thank you.
You know, I could see when, you know, things would go astray a little, you would kind of put the brakes on, and you need that too. And so you have that. So I mean, you got a lot of stuff in your camp. You know, you got support, you got your God, you got you know, people and family. Like, you got a lot going for you, you know, and you're intelligent, and you know you want to do some good in this crazy world. And, you know, I think with that, you know, you got to do okay.
I'm going to do okay. I'm doing okay.
You're doing okay. I mean, you know.
Thank you very much.
You can't get there. You're always here. Yeah, and if we treat every moment that way, I think the moments will surely be good. I'm just looking here at one of the old pieces that we used as sharing the burden to talk to people, you know, outside the program, and you know, you see. I think you've seen them all anyway, and you know, the first one that I see all the time is my boy and his new wife at the time. You know, 3 weeks he was married to her before he died. But the interesting thing with him is, you know, although it was the biggest hurt I've ever experienced in my life, his early ending of life, and I don't believe life ends, by the way, folks, he moved on, but the early ending of his life allowed us to at least get ideas of serious recovery and faith out to a lot of people, you know, and people on the inside. And now we're talking by the thousands over the last number of years. So, you know, like, everything is worth it. You know, we always talked about the perfect plan, and although some pieces are so hurtful, I think it's another thing about choosing thoughts and where we're going to focus is, you know, we can focus on the hurt, or we can focus on anything else, you know, and anything else is better than focusing on the hurt, because it's paralytic. It paralyzes you.
Absolutely.
You know, so do you have anything that you can think of quickly in your life, either loss of people, you know, stuff that really kind of put a hurt in your...
Yeah, absolutely. I've had this similar scenario happen to me in 2016 with someone that I was very, very close with. And, you know, this individual never came back home. And, you know, just the way even it went down with her, like where she had overdosed, it was just, it was traumatizing. I didn't go to her memorial. I didn't go to her funeral. I didn't go. I just, that's how hurt I was. So, yeah.
So you took it personally, kind of.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, it's amazing how these things hurt. And, you know, we look again to the next one, which is a familiar one here, but, you know, we see somebody behind the bars, and you know, it's a fellow in orange who's not like the women are, but jail's jail. And that is not, you know, even the same one next door. But it gives people the idea. And people, they got to know. You got to kind of experience some of that or get close, you know. Then we go on to what really... It's killing everybody, and it's, you know, it's usually use of the needle one way or another, and not always. I mean, you can, you know, heroin, fentanyl, you can eat it, chew it, smoke it, whatever, but it's one horrible drug. And folks, whatever we can do to beat out fentanyl and carfentanyl, and I don't really know, because I have groups of people now who look beyond recovery and say, well, you know, I know about that, but how do I stop overdosing? Like, it's that serious. How do I just... I'm addicted to overdosing, it almost sounds like. And I think, good Lord. do you really want to die? When I look at 10 people and say, you know, most of you're dead this time next year, doesn't it bother you? No. It doesn't seem to even register. You know? What do you do with that? So anyway, these are some people who we have been successful with. All of those are clean and have been for some time, and I believe all of those have been on the radio show, if not once, several times. So, Excellent. So there are some successes, and you know, a fellow who I met on the inside actually was a minister's son. You know, not unusual. People of the faith, whatever the faith is, the offsprings have a rough time often. You know, making it in life. And And he was one of them who's proven, though, that he can. And he's one we'll see, I think, in the on the inside, and the somewhat future, he's been out long enough now to do whatever he wants inside too. So
okay,
and you're on today's expression of who we are, what we do, and there's your whistle FM, whatever it says. Does it say CA or?
Yeah, it does.
I don't think it says it, does it?
It says .com.
Yeah. And folks, for you out there, this was the final piece we used in our last presentation. And these are just pieces of a short video we put together. And these are just still pieces. But this is what we want to do. We want to expand the number of meetings we have inside as well as outside. We want to have places for people to go wherever they are in their recovery. And that doesn't exist, you know, and there's a big space between release and recovery, and that's usually where it gets messed up. So people get out, and we always tell them, you know, like, you got to do something different a second you get out there, not go home and fix up all the messes and then start a recovery program. You got to do like Mayor did here. She stayed in recovery throughout her stay inside, right into coming outside, and that's the key, you know. But how did you do that? And most people don't. They go back and they spend all their time getting totally anxious or depressed about what they got to fix out there after having had their meals and everything done for them for however long they did that stuff, you know, like.
Well, everything happens for a reason, and you just take it one day at a time and try to learn the lesson from it. There's always a lesson from it, and all that, you know, realize all the things that you were doing that you should not have been doing, and you know, try not to, you know, and focus on it each and every day, and try not to let it happen again. It will become a pattern. You have to recognize what's wrong, you know, acknowledge it, and move on to something better, and look for the day.
And you've kind of chosen, you know, to, as far ahead as we can see, to be involved in what you're doing, in different things, whether it be this. I mean, I don't know if you've done this before, but not with us anyway. And here you are, and you're sitting here doing this, and you're telling people some truths and some things they may or may not want to experience for themselves. Hopefully not. But, many, 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 hundreds of thousands, millions are still going to take drugs and drink booze. And, we got to be there for them, too.
Absolutely.
You know, because people got to learn on their own, don't they? I mean, we got to get hurt a little bit and pushed around before we know the right decision to make. And I see you going into other places and programs and truly making a difference, because you're not afraid to share. So you're sharing your burdens with us, you know. and you make them sound light, but they're not that light, these burdens.
Nope.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, Mayor?
In 5 years? You know, I would, clean, of course. Just stability.
Yeah.
In 5 years.
Nobody knows, but I mean, it's nice to
just doing well. Just doing well.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Come from making a difference?
Absolutely.
Making a difference, yeah. That's what I'm about to. And one of the things, you're too young to think about it right now, but finishing strong is something that's always on my mind, you know.
There you go.
You know, I'd rather go out with a boom and doing something than, I don't know where he went, maybe he's dead, sort of thing.
Well,
you know?
I agree with you. I want to go out with a bang.
Yeah, but not one of 45.
No, a good bang.
Or
no, a bang.
Well, listen, Mayor.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure.
The pleasure was all mine.
To get to know you a little bit and to, to hear candid thoughts and the truth and decisions a person in your shoes has to make. And, your honesty it goes before you. It means a lot.
Thank you, Scott.
And it'll help people out there. And, and folks, by the way, this will be available on podcast as of the weekend coming. If you want to listen again live and you're somewhere in the Stouffville area, or you can pick up, as we're telling people, on 102.9 FM Stouffville, whistlefm.com or .ca. Either way, you can pick up the show. On Sunday morning, we rerun it on the station here. So, but that's at 7 a.m., so I don't know how many people are up Sunday, 7 a.m., but if you are, you can listen to it there. If not, pick up the podcast on sharingtheburden.ca or stbradio.ca. Folks, it's been a pleasure, and I'm sure after a little bit of an announcement from our friend Jay over here, he'll set you straight on where we go from here. All yours, Jay. Talk about your show.
All right. Great. Thank you very much, Scott, and a very good show today. And yes, you can tune in to my show here on Whistle FM. It's called The Block Party, and it's for all you fans of dance music out there. You want to get your dancing shoes on and join me for some great DJs and dance music on Saturday night. We do some live shows here at the Whistle FM studio, and we also do some pre-recorded shows. So if you're interested in being a guest DJ on my show, you can send me a message. I have a Facebook group, Block Party on Whistle FM. Send me a message there, and would love to have you as a guest on the Block Party. So that's every Saturday from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, and that's it for Sharing the Burden today.
Thanks all for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM here in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show, and hope you will share it online. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.